The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Back-to-back victories in 2023. For Brian Battle.
I'm going to be the new king of this division. I'm coming up. You know what I'm saying? They can call me out. You feel me?
Brian the Butcher Battle!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Yes.
Today we have returning guests. I always like a good returning guest. Welterweight Brian Battle. And we also have Jesus Trejo, comedian out of Los Angeles, coming back. I'm also a huge UFC fan, which is nice. I love when my fellow comics are big fans. And Matt, I'm traveling this week, so I'll be away. So I'm hoping that I'm bringing a microphone to try to do a good broadcast when I'm in a hotel. So we will see. I'm going to be in Oklahoma. I'm going to be in Houston. I'm going to be in Dallas. So people want to come see me. But you were seeming a bit ornery. Like you said, had a couple of things to complain about. And I want to get right to it.
Oh, I'm going to start bitching about shit.
Okay.
Really quick. Let us know what's about.
Oh, so should I announce that we're going to be on Sirius XM?
That's amazing.
Yes. Every Wednesday and Thursday night, 8 p.m. on Fight Nation, I think. They're going to replay Monday's show on Wednesday and then Wednesday's show on Thursday. So Wednesday, Thursday, 8 p.m., I think, on Fight Nation before I forget. We would be negligent not to.
Awesome. Listen, hey, that's exciting. You know, yeah. I like to spread the good word.
Yep.
Hey, listen. When is Brian Battle coming in? Because I want to talk.
We got a couple of minutes. I'm sure he's not here yet.
All right, let us know when he's in. So anyway, listen. So the he's not in yet. Okay. So the family, they're away for the week. It's just me. I'm by my
Yeah.
So I got excited to teach you jiu-jitsu. You're leaving. That doesn't work out.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with myself. I'll get into what happened today, which was a little annoying, which is why I don't want to leave the house. Because I don't like to deal with people. But yesterday, so I dropped my family off at the airport. I want to tell you about my day. And then I got my TRT shot, a little shot in the hiney. And then I don't know what to do. My family's not home. Jimmy, it's weird when you got my wife and three kids and I got a routine.
Yeah. You know?
So what do? I got time to kill. I seen Dune again.
Again.
It's almost a 3-hour movie.
Yep.
So in Long Island, it feels a little different watching a movie by yourself than it does in the city. Because in the city, it's so normal.
Yeah.
In Long Island, you look almost like a weirdo a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not judging people. It's sure. Cool. I'm going to do it again.
You should. But
anyway, it was really good. Jimmy, it was, I don't know why I was about to call you Dean Thomas. This movie, because I'm going to tell Dean to watch it. It's such a good movie. I'll get into that.
Okay.
So anyway, I did that. I went to my school. I put my young Tommy through some drills, a nice drill I used to do at Henzo's back in the day. I came home. I got in bed by 10 a.m. I'm watching Grandma's Boy. Shout out to Nick Swartzen, one of the funniest comics
out there. I love Nick, yeah.
My wife usually, my kids, they make fun of me when I try to go to bed at 10.
Sure.
So now I did that. And I dropped the remote at like 10:05 and it shut off the TV. I just left it there and I went to sleep.
Well, I mean,
did I just waste the first? That wasn't a. I just wanted to tell you, I don't have the most exciting life. Was that not an exciting, a fun day?
I would say that's action packed. That sounded like a movie. Like I don't even believe that actually happened. Wait, first the movies by yourself, then you come back after another training session and you watch TV.
Yeah, I dropped, and then I went to bed early. So anyway, listen.
Yeah,
I'm just catching up. I don't know what you got me crying. So this morning, hey, starts off with a great day. I'm getting back in the routine. You're making me laugh. So that wasn't the most exciting. I just want to let you know, like, I'd be kind of lost if I was like a bachelor. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with myself, you know? So anyway, so today, excellent. Brian Battle's in the waiting room. And then I'm going to tell you, today's way more exciting.
What was annoying? Let's bring Brian in. Maybe he can help us get to the bottom of it. I want to know.
Because you some VR. What?
You and I had talked about how much I'm dying to have you come and help me. But this is the only week you're available and I'm traveling. Hey, man, how you doing, Brian?
I'm doing so good. How you doing?
We might be good luck. After we talked last time, you went out there and you got that shit done by submission, man. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. I love submissions.
Hey, I love just like killing people. So you know what? However I get to do that, that's what's got to get done.
That's what you get paid for. It's beautiful, isn't it? And you get paid to, like, you're in the hurt business. Whether it's a knockout or a submission or a slam on the head. What do you prefer, knockout or a submission? What is more satisfying? You've done both.
I've done both.
Jimmy has done neither. I'm sorry.
But I've had both done to me.
I'm like a really aggressive guy. So maybe a choke is cool, but I want to beat you up a little bit first. Like last time I didn't get to land a sufficient amount of I didn't get to punish him enough before I got the choke. You know what I'm saying? He gave up his back too easily. You know what I'm saying? I would have liked to, you know, maybe a couple more elbows, you know what I'm saying? Do something to just make his life a little bit more miserable. Then you can give me your back. Like as soon as I got him in position to beat him up, he just turned over. I was like, bro, what? Don't turn over yet.
Does it also depend on who you're fighting? Right. Does it ever depend on who you're fighting? Like if it's a really good striker, it feels better to knock him out. If it's somebody who's a really good grappler, then there's more satisfaction in choking him. Does that matter at all?
No.
You don't care?
No. I guess like in my head. Yeah, I guess like it would be just to kind of like, you know, big dick him a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Just be like, yeah, what's up? You know what I'm saying? You think you're a grappler? Well, I just choked you out. You know what I'm saying? Or you think you're a striker? I just knocked you out. But really, like, you know, just violence in general, you know what I'm saying? Just, and then like, yeah, if it is a submission, I prefer for it to be some kind of choke, you know what I'm saying? Because if we're fighting to the death, you know what I'm saying? If I broke your arm, that would definitely help me out, but that wouldn't stop the fight. You know what I'm saying? You could still fight me with one arm. You know what I'm saying? But if I get your neck, then it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? If I knock you out, it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I like to get the finishes that are really finishers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those chokes, it's so funny. The other day in class, I'm sure, Brian, you've been grappling for a long time, whether it's yourself or other guys in class, the goal, you know, we're looking to either get the limb about the snap, where once in a while maybe you get a tweak if you wait too long. And otherwise, sometimes either you or your partner gets put to sleep. It has happened. I'm sure you've seen it happen, right?
It's happened to me.
100%. Happened to me also, right?
Yeah.
Not that big a deal. Now, look, I've been doing this 30 years, all right? The other day in class. Now, normally what happens, Brian, you know, turn them over. Lift up the legs, maybe pat their face, make sure they're not biting their thumb.
They come
right to.
Yes? Yeah.
Listen, guys, the other day, I can say it because he's fine now. You know, I felt almost a little guilty because we were doing a little thing where if there's like under 20 people, we do like 8-on-8 or 10-on-10. I do a little, I pair it up where I do a battle royale. They start from their knees. One team submit the other team. It's pretty fun. You can't do any leg locks. So you got three guys on one. So anyway, it's like a war. It's like a battlefield. If you could picture this, right?
That sounds amazing.
That's going on. They like it. It's like little kids. They have fun, you know? So I turn over, my big guy Gord, one of my black belts, he reminds me of Kung Fu Panda because he's like big and, but he's agile. He goes, Matt, we got a problem. So I see my other buddy, Syed, another big, powerful guy, a blue belt, but like a former wrestler, belly down. I thought he maybe hurt his arm because he's like this. Dude, he's shaking. He's out. This guy's panicking. I go, dude, I'll turn him over.
Listen. Yeah.
He comes. So eventually I get over there. He's lifting his legs. I get over there real quick. His eyes, I don't know how long he was out. I got a little nervous, right? His eyes were open. He's looking at me. He's biting his thing, his teeth, his mouthpiece. So I make sure his tongue's good, smack him on the face. Hey, you know, are you good? Syed, you're right? Look at me. I slept over last night. I like to make a joke. It's almost like he's very strong. He grabs my wrist, eyes open still. It's almost like a zombie. He's like, I go, holy fuck. I got my neon belly. Brian, I thought I was going to have to start throwing some. I thought it was a zombie.
It was
scary. Eventually, he came to, but it was the longest it ever took. Totally fine afterwards. I made him, but holy fuck, did it scare me. But anyway, chokes are great.
Chokes are amazing.
Jimmy, if that was you on top, you would have got scared.
Have you guys ever, have either of you ever seen somebody get choked out where, I mean, it's obviously always okay, but where it was a lot worse than that even? Have you ever seen that happen in the gym before?
No, I haven't.
No. That actually, like Matt said, if like that actually happened, then like until they started acting normal, I'd be like, a little like, I think probably the thing that scared me the most in the gym, I coach kids class. The one kid, he was talking about, now this is a bigger kid, you know what I'm saying? And he was talking about, he had like a crink in his neck or something like that. And so I'm messing around with him. I'm like, okay, I come over, I'm gonna fix it. So I grabbed him by his head. And I guess, you know, you do this with lighter kids all the time. And I just picked him up by his head. And when you do it with lighter kids, it's like nothing. Like they're like, oh, it hurts. And you put him down, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You play with them. When I picked him up by his head, his neck went like, and I put him down immediately. And then he was acting crazy. He was like, oh, I'm dizzy. Oh no, I can't walk. I was like, I can't believe my life is over.
Oh my God. Then what happened?
Yeah, no, he was totally fine. Like literally like 5 seconds later, like he was like running around like nothing ever happened. But I was like, then afterwards, all the other kids are like, do that to me too. I was like, no.
You're like, dude, I was like,
get away from me, you little monsters.
Yeah, dude, it scares you, man. But it's not, but at the end of the day, as far as the chokes, man, because if you're doing the strangles, the chokes correctly, it's not an air thing. It's a blood thing. So unless you've got that on for like over a minute, like it's ridiculous, usually you're catching it right away.
Yeah.
But because I was looking the other way, I'm like, hey, dude, I hope fucking big Kung Fu Panda Gord wasn't strangling this guy for 5 minutes. it was a battlefield where a lot of guys all attacking each other. It's pretty cool.
He just caught up in the moment, just like squeezing for his life, yeah.
And then I find out, the guy's, this is like the third time it happened to the guy. I go, dude, you got to stop waiting to the last second, man.
In that case, it's your fault. It's like, bro, just tap, you know? Like, how many times you got to go to sleep? You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's always like these big strong guys, because with the choke, it doesn't really hurt. So they're like, ah, I can take it. Yeah, but we're taking away your blood that's going to the neck, to the brain. So that's what, you know, they can take the pain, but it's not, that's not what's putting them to sleep, the pain.
Well,
it's the lack of the blood to the brain.
Is some of the times I've gone to sleep, I feel like, I don't know if it's just the fact that you're falling asleep, but I always feel like right before I go to sleep, I'm about to get out. Like, I feel like I'm struggling, yeah. I'm struggling. And I'm like, all right, I'm getting out. Right. And then
That's how it is. Because you don't want to quit. And you're like, if I could just get out of this person's screwed. And next thing you know, you're waking up, you know? Jimmy's like, I don't got to worry about that shit.
Jimmy. No, I was put to sleep for the first time recently, Mike was showing me something, and I wasn't even trying to get out of it. He was just showing me something with a roll, but it didn't hurt. It was a lot of pressure, but it wasn't painful. And I was like letting him show me, and I just didn't realize how deep he had it. And I knew I had gone out because I could hear like that fucking thing you do when you're out. And I heard it, and I realized, oh, it's me. So yeah, that was how I knew I went out.
What did he say?
Oh, he didn't. I was like, oh, I think I went out. Just give me a second. And it took like 5 seconds to get back to normal, and it was fine.
Is it true you woke up with an erection?
No, that's what I started with. It went away when I got choked out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Brian. Only because he's got, you know, it's Jimmy.
Yeah. So,
Brian, we're excited to see you again, man.
Yeah. I'm excited to be talking to you guys again. It's always, like you said, it's always a good sign. If I'm talking to you guys, that means something got to happen. You know what I mean?
Hey, Brian, you were really, your first fight was really at 240?
Yes, sir.
That's amazing to me. What you guys do with your bodies as far as cutting weight is always amazing to me. But what got you down, and were you heavier than normal then, or is that your normal walking around weight?
When I first started, Mr. Jim, when I first walked into the gym, I was 21 with no prior combat sports experience, and I was about 300 pounds. And so that was when I first walked in. And then, you know, leading up to that amateur debut, like I just thought heavyweight, you know what I'm saying? I thought maybe if I worked really hard, I could do light heavyweight. But, you know, I played lineman in high school, so I didn't really have any problem. I was used to dealing with big bodies. So, I just thought I was a heavyweight. I lost a bunch of weight just from the training. Like, I didn't change my diet at all. I was still drinking all the time, you know what I'm saying? But I got down to 240. That fight happened. And then I got, you know, it's my first amateur fight. You know, I'm excited. Everyone's excited. You know what I mean? You know, I'm working hard. Get knocked out in the first round. And then after that, I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, maybe I should try, you know, changing my diet a little bit. Let me see how low I can get. And then now, you know, fast forward however many years, now we're at 170. It really is crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, like, cause it's not like you drop down to 205 or 185. I mean, to fight at 170, and that's your comfortable fighting weight. When did you what process got you to like realizing, hey, this is where I'm comfortable? Cause you must have hit other divisions on the way down, right?
Yeah, no, I hit all the divisions. I hit every division on the way down. light heavyweight. I want to say I'm not undefeated at light heavyweight. I lost my last amateur fight by split decision at light heavyweight. That was the hometown guy. I should have won that fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But then 185. So I won the Ultimate Fighter 185. And at that period of time, I thought 185 was my division. I didn't think there was any chance. And I felt good with my frame at 185. I thought I had a world championship frame at 185. But then when I went to go fight Trayshawn, after the show, I just had more resources. I could train more. And once again, it wasn't even like I was dieting to get down. My body started just shedding more weight just because of the extra training I was able to do and the intensity of that training. And so it was twofold. When I fought Trayshawn, I didn't really have to cut much weight. Like, I just kind of ended up just from doing my regular workouts, getting down to 185. And then Shavkat was on that card with me. And we were in like the same area of the hotel. And so every time I'm walking around, I'm seeing Shavkat all the time. And I'm like, yo, me and this dude, we're the same size. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at this guy. I was like, we're looking eye to eye. I'm like, and he's, you know, even though he's not as big of a deal as he is now, like, he was still like a hot prospect back then.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him. I'm like, all right, if this is what the top of the division looks like at welterweight, I guess I need to go. And I felt like I could make it. So after that fight with Trayshawn, I did a test cut and I told my agent, I was like, yo, I need a fight at welterweight. And so it is a little bit harder getting to what a little bit. It's harder getting to welterweight, but you know, this is my path to the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's going swimmingly. Fuck.
Yeah.
You only lost one out of the last, what am I reading here? since you turned over the. Well, I mean, in the last, you got to went to welterweight.
Only one since 2019.
I didn't lose time.
You lose
what? At a time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what's strange is though, you know, why? That's the reason though. You were sizing these other guys up, saying, "All right, look, Shavkat's around my size." Because I'm looking. It's not like usually you're having trouble in the one division. You go down. You were winning. You know, yeah. It's not like something was broken. You're trying to fix it. Everything's going great, and then you're saying, "Hey, it might even go even better if I." I'm the heaviest in the division, right?
It was, you know, and, you know, I know there's a lot of, it was partially the sizing them up, but it was also partially the ease in which I made middleweight was a little unsettling to me. You know, like, it felt like I was kind of cheating a little bit. There's something to me, you know, I know, weight cutting is, you know, kind of a controversial. There's different opinions on it. To me, when I'm getting ready to go to war, that process of cutting weight is a little spiritual to me. You know what I'm saying? It does something for me getting ready for the fight, you know, to be able to get through the weight cut, to be able to, you know, go through that uncomfort, you know. And so that was also a big part of it. Like, so it's either I would have had to lift weights to gain weight to stay at middleweight, or it was like go down to welterweight. But that was a big part of it too. I didn't like how easy I was making it. I didn't have to go through any uncomfort to make middleweight anymore, you know?
Let me ask you, I'm sure you see, and maybe you didn't, but Michael Venom Page, MVP. Did you watch his fight the other night
with Kevin? Yes, sir.
Come yes, on, sir. Man, those both are potential matchups for you. I can see you fighting either one of those guys. What do you
sign them up? Sign them up.
What do you think of it? There's mixed reactions about his about that fight and about his debut. What did you think of him?
It was so I thought he looked good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got. I thought he looked good. Honestly, didn't do a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? Was do it the actual stuff that he scored with, there wasn't like he was throwing, like, you know, did he ever land 20 strikes in a round? I don't even think he ever landed 20 strikes in a round. So it wasn't like he was doing a ton. Yeah, he was doing a lot without doing a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Kevin just got mesmerized right off the rip. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think he got sucked into that game right off the rip. He was just chasing him. He wasn't cutting him off properly. He wasn't fainting enough. He wasn't making MVP uncomfortable. He was swinging from out of range. He was letting MVP just come in. He was letting MVP just come in whenever he wanted to. Anytime MVP wanted to throw that right hand, it was landing. So now with that being said, you know, Kevin, he's a really good fighter. So, you know, MVP doing that, you know, good for him. That's, you know, MVP's been doing that for a long time, but I think it's, even though people compare them, I don't think they fight that similarly, but I've been fortunate enough to have I've trained a lot with Wonder Boy because he lives about 2 hours away from me. So I've driven up to his gym a couple times. So I know that if you're fighting someone like that, you need that look.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure that out on the fly. It's not going to happen. Like, if you right? haven't sparred with someone like MVP and you get into the cage with him in front of all the cameras and all the people, there's no way you're going to be able to figure out that timing and how to deal with that on the fly. You need someone to give you that look in camp so you can kind of, you know, not necessarily like, cause you know, no one fights exactly the same, but just so you have a general understanding of like what to do, how to defend yourself, you know, how to play that game a little bit. Yeah. And Kevin Holland just looked like he didn't do his homework. He looked like he was coming in there to fight, you know, a regular styled fighter, not someone as unorthodox as MVP. So, yeah, and I had a lot of thoughts on that fight, you know what I mean?
Have you ever had that? Have you ever been in the cage with someone where you're like, fuck, this guy's really hard to figure out? And I'm curious, like with a guy like Holland, who is such a good fighter and a dynamic striker, how long does it take you to realize, like, all right, this is a problem? Like, is it the first minute where you're feeling somebody out, or do you know immediately, or is it by the end of the first round? What has it been for you?
I will say I've never been, like, when it's actually fight night, I haven't had anyone that I had a hard time. There's been people where I'm wondering why they aren't doing more, you know, like it's like, or people who are, they're frustrating me because they're not doing what I want them to do. But in the training room, yeah, like probably Wonderboy and Sean Strickland were the most confusing people I ever worked with. Because they just have very unique styles. And if you try to fight them like you fight a regular person, you know what I'm saying? It's just not going to work. You have to adjust what you're doing to accommodate to their style. And once again, if you let someone like that who has an unorthodox style dictate the pace and the timing and the range, and you're not going to touch them because they got a whole system. They got a whole game and you're stuck in it. You don't even know you're stuck in it, but you're stuck in it. So I would probably say, you know, when all else fails, just start trying to change the pace and the cadence and the timing and whatnot. But there's someone like MVP will mesmerize you. You know, like someone like Wonderboy, they'll mesmerize you. So even Sean Strickland, it'll mesmerize you because it's just different. And then you freeze. Yeah. You're like thinking too much. Once you start having to think, you shouldn't have to be like thinking heavy duty while you're fighting. You know what I mean?
100%. You have to have somebody mimicking. Somebody has to be mimicking for at least 2 months or more that look. You know what I mean? I'm lucky. When I was going to fight George the first time, it got postponed. So when I started camp, it's almost like I did. I just kept going, having the same look, the same kicks thrown at me that he would throw. And I remember just in the fight being like, oh, wow, I've seen this before. You know what I mean?
So
the more you get used to that. So if you're getting used to it that night, fuck, man, especially that bouncy hands down style, you're trying to get the timing down on that. You don't got to bring in Wonderboy, but I mean, that'd be great if you should. But like the average people, find some good karate guys. They don't got to do MMA. Do straight up striking with them, try to time them. They dart in, they dart out. The MVP didn't land a ton of strikes, but dude, he darted in with some nice elbows and some.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you not see that coming? It's the timing on it. So that's what that point karate is. So to see that used is very cool. Like to see that used in MMA because you don't see many guys doing it. There's Wonderboy and MVP, but not many.
Well, and what was nice what he was doing too is like he was darting in and out, but he was doing like subtle feints too. You know what I'm saying? Like just a little something to get Kevin to react and then bump, top of it. And it was just like, it's definitely, if I ever fought MVP, we'd be face to face the whole time. I was like, you want space? You ain't getting that, big dog.
Yeah. Pressure.
And that style of bouncing that he does, and it seems exhausting. Like that just seems like an exhausting. It's just that constant bouncing movement seems awful.
But I mean, that's what he does. And so, if he's able to fight the way he wants to fight, like if you're not really pushing him, there's no way he's going to get tired.
Yeah.
Now pushing him, now he has to move more. You know what I'm saying? If he has to throw more, like if he's throwing 9 times around, like if he's landing 9-10 punches. 15 strikes a round, he could do that all day, you know what I mean, especially with a break in between each round. But if you're pushing him and making him uncomfortable, that's when you'll start to see the cracks in the conditioning. That's when you'll start to see maybe he starts getting flat-footed, you know what I'm saying, maybe that bounce isn't the same. But it's like if you stay at range and you try to play that in and out game with them, hey, good luck, brother, good luck.
Hey man, all I know is I wasn't known for my footwork, but I don't want to learn how to fight when it's got to be cardio day every fighting set. That's exhausting. I can't picture. It's like jumping on the rope for fucking 15 minutes. You got to be on your feet. First of all, I look weird doing it. I actually look like a stocky little girthy penis right now. That if I anyway, I'm sorry. But I can bet you, I'm happy, Brian. I'm happy that my friend Jimmy chose jujitsu to get into.
Yeah.
I think it was either that or point karate. And I couldn't picture my little Jimmy bouncing up with his hands down on a subway platform. I don't think I think he'd get fucked up.
I think it's better for everybody involved. All the parties involved.
That's right, Brian. Jimmy, yeah.
A little Muay Thai, too. I like Muay Thai just because if you're going to have to throw a punch, you at least want to have some practice throwing a punch. And we focus a lot on closing the distance, even more than in jiu-jitsu. It's a lot about getting single legs or double legs. So just getting to the jiu-jitsu. Because if you only know how to grapple and some guy's punching you in the face, you got to be able to get a hold of him or at least defend yourself standing, too.
I tell you, one of my favorite things ever. And as far as like, you know, talking just combat sports, one of my favorite things ever is mixing it with when you're going with just the jiu-jitsu people. That's just the people who train jiu-jitsu. They train jiu-jitsu every day. They train multiple times a day. You know what I'm saying? Roll with them and just jiu-jitsu. You know what I'm saying? You're fighting for your life. They're doing things like, you know, they're like little spider monkeys. Like, it's great. But when you get to throw a punch at them, oh my God. That is fantastic. You know, they're going for some goofy, you know, leg inverted position and you can just punch them in the face and then you see the shock on their face. Like, whoa, this happened. That's, oh, my goodness. And then they stop going for the submission. It's like, yes.
Yeah, all right, Brian, our next guest is in the waiting room. Let's plug the fight properly.
Yes, please.
I want to make sure I get the name right. NJ Losa. I always say his name wrong. Is it Angulosa?
The way I've heard other people say it, and I think it's Angelos.
Angelos. Okay, you might be right. I heard Buffer say it, but I never know if Buffer's 100% right. He just says it with confidence. All right, so I guess Angelos this Saturday. Are you guys the co-main, or are you the main, the featured bout?
Co-main.
Awesome. Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura, great fucking fight. I mean, Tuivasa, it never sucks to watch him fight. Absolutely. Always fun.
I'm trying to see him after the fight. That's what I want to watch his fight, but I want to see what he's doing after the fight more. You know what I mean?
I could definitely see you guys at a club. Listen, Brian, would you do a shoey? That's the last question I'm going to ask you.
Not only would I do a shoey, I've already done a shoey with Volk when I was on the show.
Yo, hardcore, bro.
Out of my shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Hardcore, bro. That's why you belong in a cage, Brian Battle. Hey, man.
Always
good to have you on, dude.
Good talking to you.
But next time I talk, I need to hear some crazy, because Chris Weidman, he's over in my neck of the woods now. I see him at the conditioning place. I need some embarrassing stories about Chris Weidman from back in the day.
I'll try to think of some, brother, for sure. He's a great guy, though. I love Chris.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah, Brian, man, listen, man, we love watching you fight. We'll be watching this weekend.
All right. Yeah. I look forward. You guys again. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Take care, Brian. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Brian. All our best.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Four o'clock Eastern is the prelims, and the main card starts at 7 o'clock. That's in Vegas. I love those early fights because, you know, you don't have to be up to 1 o'clock in the morning.
You know Jesus from the circuit?
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Trejo. No, but we've talked to him before. Let's bring in Jesus.
Sorry.
That's right. It's yeah.
Sure.
I know he's based out of LA, and I do love. I'm not sure if we met in person or just on here. How are you, sir?
Hello. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
It's good to see you guys again.
You too, buddy. You're on the road a little. I love when other comics are into UFC, but what's worse? Like last Saturday, I wanted to watch the O'Malley fight, but I got a gig, and it just sucks when UFC doesn't work around your fucking schedule on a Saturday night.
Which is every time, right? It's like you're in a green room trying to catch whatever you can before you go on stage, and then you're like, all right, I guess I'm going to see the highlight reel. There's spoilers online.
Yeah, do you avoid, like, I'll avoid Instagram. I usually go home right away, and I'll watch on the app, and I'll avoid every bit of social media and go right back to the hotel and watch.
I have to, you know, it's like a little treat, you know. It's like you kind of see the buildup towards it, and then after that, I'm like, I'm out. I can't see anything. I want to see it, like, on the app. I want to see it fresh. I want to see the whole thing. So it's kind of a little treat, you know.
What do you, Jesus, you told us before, what do you train again? Do you train? Yes.
No, I mean, I took karate as a kid. I just got orange belt, which is, you know, perfect attendance, really. I mean, that was it.
you never got the urge to try a jiu-jitsu class?
I did. I actually got the chance to train over at Torrance headquarters, the Gracie headquarters. So I went there for a little bit, and you know, I wish I could have stuck with it. You know, it's like going on the road and this kind of thing, but. You know, I was really excited. They have a lot of great instructors over there, man. They, it's some really good stuff. I got to like a second stripe white belt. I just got to get back to it. I love the sport so much, but, you know, it does require quite a bit of time.
A second stripe white belt, that means you put some time in on the mat, like at least 6 months, no?
Yeah. So a better part of a year, as much as I could. But, man, it's so tough. I mean, it's like you come to find out that it really is a game of leverage. I mean, you see somebody who's so small can just, you know, just get that forearm in here. You're like, all right, lights out. Good night.
Oh, yeah. It's so great, man. I taught some escape and cross-eye today into arm locks. It's so much fun. As you get older, I feel it's one of the most fun ways to stay in shape, you know. I hate those cardio machines. And not to try to really hype you up to get back in, but your friend here, Jimmy, our friend, he started jiu-jitsu and he's addicted to it now.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. But it's funny. I got my second stripe, and then in the wash that night, it came off. So I still have one stripe, and I'm like, I guess you know what? I didn't deserve it. The universe said no. You're not fucking keeping that second stripe. Yeah, I really do like. I only go twice a week for jiu-jitsu and twice for Muay Thai. I try to do 4 days a week. But yeah, it's like I still got fatter because I can't stop eating. But if you eat healthy, it's the fucking best exercise I've ever done. It's great.
I say Muay Thai is very special too. I actually took that when I was in high school, and it was from Master Omri. You know, he used to have one of the first Cambodian ran gyms here in Long Beach off of Anaheim. And I used to go there after school. My dad, you know, put me there just to kind of keep me out of trouble and give me something to do. But I learned a ton, man. And just like the striking, the kicking, you know, I never had any proficiency in it, but just seeing the guys who had a masterful command of like kicking and, you know, blocking and that kind of thing. It was really cool to watch.
Yeah. I throw kicks sometimes. And you know, when you watch someone throw a beautiful, effortless kick and it just looks like it picks up momentum like a bat. And then I throw mine like some fucking like some old lady shooing away a masher. And I'm like, oh, this is not fucking easy.
Yeah, to me, it was so graceful, to it's so masterful to see like when someone would throw a Muay Thai kick, when the leg would go up and then it kind of cave down and come back and then go back into the stance. It's like when you see it done perfectly, you're like, man, there is no way, man. Like, yeah, some of those guys in there would do this thing where they would put on their shins. It was kind of this like. This green balm that what they would put, and they would do with the thing with the sticks to kind of build calluses or whatever. And I was like, that's next level. I'm out.
That's dedication.
Oh, that Thailand, that Thai boxing is brutal, man. You know, and the way they develop those their shin, sometimes they kick the trees and shit like that. It's one of my biggest fears. Even before it happened in the UFC, you've seen those shin, you know, what happened to Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva. You've seen that in kickboxing before. I've seen it. And it always made me a little wary of throwing those kicks, you know, because if you hit somebody, yeah, you could hurt them. But man, what if you just kick their knee? I mean, I've kicked the guy's elbow before. Would it help you out like this?
Yeah.
Kick ahead. And I had shin guards on, dude. I had a good poker face on. Inside, I was crying.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good at all. Hey, so, Jesus, let me ask you, like, in high school, in or how early of an age were you making people laugh? When did you realize, hey, man, I have a gift?
From a very young age, I was trying to avoid ass whoopings, you know? So that was my kind of my martial arts, you know? I was trying to make them laugh to make them forget that they wanted to whoop my ass. And then later it was like, I'm going to get this ass whooping anyway, so I might as well like hurt their feelings in the process.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think it starts on the schoolyard, you know? You find out you're silly, you know, making my parents laugh, I think, was kind of the first thing. It's like, okay, you know, kind of cheering up my folks, and then it just kind of, you get the bug. It never goes away.
Did you start at an open mic, or did you look up and go, I'm going to go to this? How does that work? How did you do that?
Yeah, the first spot I ever went to was actually here in Long Beach. It was a pretty rough bar. I was 20 at the time. I wasn't even supposed to be there, but I managed to get my way in there, and they gave me 3 minutes of stage time. And I bombed pretty hard. I mean, it took less than 3 minutes to really get a good bomb going, you know?
Yeah.
Did you go up there with some ammunition? Did you have a bit written out? Did you say, I have something to rehearse? You didn't go
up there? Yeah, well, I thought I went up there with ammunition. Turns out it was just hollows. Yeah, I mean, it was nothing. And, you know, you kind of learn, you know, it's a brutal kind of awakening of like, oh man, it takes so much. And, you know, it took me a whole year to get back on stage. That was like the first time I ever went up. And then after that, I, you know, told myself that there was an order. I had no idea. I went straight to a semi-booked kind of open mic kind of booked show. And what I should have been doing is going straight to coffee shops. They have some open mics around town, and that's kind of where I went. And then I started at the Comedy Store. So my real journey started at the Comedy Store. I parked cars. I was a door guy for a few years. I cleaned toilets during the day just so I can get those 3 minutes of stage time, which to me was a good deal. My dad was like, you're an idiot. Like, really?
No, it is though. And it's weird. Like those bombs as the weird things, like hearing my voice over a microphone projected back at me through a speaker I didn't know how to grapple with, or like things that made my friends laugh. I'm like, oh yeah, I have no relationship with these people. Like, they're strangers. It really was jarring the first time I heard myself and I heard my words coming back at me and not a lot of laughs. I was like, oh, this is fucking harder than I thought.
Jim, did you ever work at a comedy club or anything like that coming up?
No, I had day jobs, forklift, warehouse work, but I never worked in a club. The way I got a lot of work is I'm sober, and I got sober when I was 18. So as I got funnier in the first couple of years, I would drive headliners to gigs because they would have me MC on the road and they wanted to get fucked up and they knew I was a ride home. So because I had a car and because I was a safe, like sober driver, guys would use me on the road because they knew that they could get as drunk as they want without a problem. So that was kind of like my equivalent of doing that, was the fact that I drove and was sober.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it helped a lot. You get a lot of road experience that way, and a lot of, you know, back, this is like 1990, 91. There was a lot of dance floors and fucking just shitty places that weren't clubs. And bad. You need those bombs, though. You need them. It's like being in the gym and getting tapped or choked. You need it. If you just go out and win the first time, you're going to get a false sense of security.
Yeah. Is there like a rhythm or a kind of a, like, this is how you start in the mixed martial arts world, Matt? Like, do you find that there's this kind of like, hey, like a lot of guys started working at a gym, you know, cleaning and kind of getting this, I don't know, like stage time equivalent, like fighting with guys? Like, does that exist?
You know, I don't know. My thing is with that, I've always, as far as with the fighters, done everything very organically, myself and Ray Longo. Ray Longo runs a straight, we have two different schools. He's got a straight MMA school called Lore MMA that's in Garden City, which is around like, I don't know, whatever, like 30 minutes or so from mine. I have a school in Huntington. I have a jiu-jitsu school that offers Muay Thai. We got some fighters that come out of there organically. We put it together. The fighters come over to my school. They do jiu-jitsu. But his school is straight out of like Rocky III. You walk in there, there's a guy in a towel. There's a fucking thing. Yeah, it's just fucking. I'm not saying it's grimy. It's fucking. It's, but that's a fighter's gym. I don't know what they do as far as with that. With me, I got a couple of guys that Tommy Gennaro, young kid. He's got, you know, he's a great coach, a former wrestler. He wants to do this. So I have him. He's working for me. He teaches classes. And, you know, so I work with him. I work with a couple of guys. But I'm sure everybody's got their own different thing, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it's got to be organic. I never once had a contract with any kind of fighter or did anything with that. I just, you know, I teach jiu-jitsu first and foremost. I teach everyday people. And if I get involved with the fighters, again, it's organically. But I'm sure American Top Team's got a whole fucking – they got bunk beds in and fucking – they got a whole program where guys go there and they can stay there. I mean, you know, I'm not a super team, though, so I don't know. You know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you watch the fights over the weekend with Sean O'Malley and Chito Vera?
Yeah, the rematch. I mean, what nuts. I mean, it's so crazy to see, you know, them go into like, you know, 2/3 of the second round, and you know, it's so nuts. I mean, did you guys want to see the rematch? Is that something you guys were looking forward to?
I didn't mind it. I thought Merab deserved the fight, the first shot, because he's number one, and he's just such a nightmare for people. But I got why they gave it to Vito. It's a big fight. It's the one loss on O'Malley's record. People say, well, what if? So I kind of understood why they gave it to Chito. And he deserves it. I mean, again, he's such a good fighter, and he's durable, and he's very, very tough. But that, yeah, I mean, that really, O'Malley looked fucking amazing. And, just amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he really did. Sean O'Malley was very, just so accurate. And it did feel like, it's almost like, all right, that fight ended weird when you fought him first. Yeah. He did kick you. It did hurt your leg, but it's, you got to give it to him. He said, look, man, if I fight him again, it's not going to be competitive. And this was a pretty one-sided fight. Yeah. So I'm not, I agree that I feel that Chito won the first fight, but I'm not going to say it's a fluke. Cause
no,
people use that with me winning the titles. I didn't say that fucking word, but you know, I think that Sean did show that right now, at least the other night, he was a far superior fighter. You know, striker. I was really impressed with Peter Yan the other night. I think Peter Yan fought a very young, confident, talented, skilled Song Yadong.
Song Yadong, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that it was a confident opponent. And I thought Peter Yan just answered the call, dude. He came back after a tough round one, and he just started blending in, like, well-timed takedowns. And it was just, what a night. Dustin Poirier, yeah. That was some night, man. No, night of fights.
Yeah, a lot of great fights. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little obsessed with Vera. You know, he's just such an amazing fighter. I mean, I mean, that's one tough dude, man. He could take, I mean, punishment. And it reminds me of this like Mexican boxer style, of, like always moving forward. It's like, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. But man, that's a tough guy, man.
And he didn't, one thing he didn't do was like, because a lot of times he was known like the first round, a lot of times he's just getting timing down. And a lot of times he starts slow, Chito. And they kept saying he's not making this dirty enough. Like, you can't just let O'Malley stay at the distance that he's comfortable at and snipe you. Like, he'll do that for, he's devastating. And he should have, when he mixed it up and he got in and made it dirty, he hurt O'Malley. So I wish he had done more of that. And again, earlier, easier said than done. But I wish he had done more of that. I think he would have had a much better shot in that fight.
What is it? O'Malley has a bigger reach than Vera. Yeah. It's like, what is it? Reach 72? And
I don't know what the difference is, but he just fights long. Like, you know what I mean? He always seems like he's out of range, or he's difficult to get close to. His movement is so good. But yeah, I wish Chito would have, like they said, made that a little bit dirtier. I think he would have had a bit more, because he hurt him when he hit him. I mean, he definitely hurt O'Malley. Have you been to the fights live?
Once. I went to once at Madison Square Garden. It's a whole nother beast, man. I really want to go again, but that one was amazing. Actually, I got to tag along because Bert Kreischer went.
You went with Bert? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went with Bert, and that was like, like going backstage, seeing all the fighters. I was the geeky dude in the back waving at the fighters. I'm like, what is this 6'3" Mexican, you know, waving at.
They're all nice guys too. I've noticed of all the athletes I've interviewed, the MMA fighters are just the most down to earth guys. And again, it's probably because they're getting submitted in the gym constantly, and there's that balance that keeps them humble. But whatever it is, they are by far the nicest athletes I've interviewed.
That's for, like, whenever you meet a fighter of any discipline, they usually are, you're right, the most absolute sweetest people. And I think, it's like, thank God they're sweet, because if not, it's like, oh shit, you know. But I do find that it's like all the fighters, I mean, are very sweet people. Matt, is there something to that?
Well, the thing is, I think, is if somebody's been in the game long enough, like Jimmy said, and you guys, you both trained jiu-jitsu, that alone will humble you. Now, you picture a guy who's been in, especially the UFC, long enough, everyone usually has at least one loss, if not more. So if they have several losses, when somebody's undefeated and they never felt a loss, they got all the applause and the spotlight, it's great. When you picture the exact opposite, where you're embarrassed in front of everybody, that, and you know everybody's seen you at your worst, whether it's a spinning back fist, you're on all fours. These are the couple of things that happened to me. There's things that it's just, it's embarrassing. And it's like, it's going to humble you. And you know, there's guys that never lost. Next, you know, there's a meme of them with their eyes open. And it's like, it shows you how vulnerable you are and how quickly things could change. So I don't know. I think this game will humble you. If you don't come in humble, you usually leave humble. I've noticed, unless you're just a dick, you know. Yeah. Sometimes guys are just not, you know, they're not my type of guy.
And hey, Seuss, before our show is ending, but I want to promote your gigs. Of course, you're in Long Beach. I've never done this room, the Laugh Factory in Long Beach, tomorrow night, Thursday, and then the 15th, 16th coming up, the Comedy Cabin in, is that Janesville, Wisconsin?
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Wisconsin. I got some shows up there. It'll be Friday and Saturday, three shows total. Then I'm in a House of Comedy in Detroit. And I'm in after that, I'm going to be at a Charlotte Comedy Zone, and then Greenville. And then first week of April, I'm going to be at Tempe Improv. So JesusTrejo.com. Check out all the upcoming shows, get some tickets, and let's have a good time.
Yeah, you're a very funny comic, man. And it's good talking to you again. Thanks for coming on, and we'd love to have you again.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care, you guys.
All right, have good shows, brother.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That's great, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a nice guy.
So, Jimmy, you know, we're going to plug the fights this weekend.
Sure. I just closed the window.
So, you know, I told you about my day yesterday. So, after I taught today, I took a little nap because my car has some car problems, right? I'm dropping it off. So, my buddy, he does everything for me. My buddy, his name is Johnny Single Leg, right? Good guy. So, Johnny, he has a place, Karma Auto Concierge. I don't know. It's weird. C-O-N-C-I-E.
Concierge.
Concierge. Okay.
He only has one leg, though. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, we call him he used to like the single leg back in, you know what I'm, you're so Johnny's Single Leg is a good man. He owns, he has that Karma Auto Concierge. So, he takes care of everything with me when I want a new car. So my one car I'm getting out of, they're fixing an engine on it. They're fixing something on it. He tells me, look, and he's a great guy. Go to this place, go to the dealership, drop it off under the awning. Tell the guy Tom's expecting you. All right, Jimmy. Yeah. So I just do what he, listen, I'm going to do that. I'm going to drop it off. I jump in an Uber. I come home because I got my wife's car. It's a perfect time for me to get this thing fixed. All right.
Sure.
I dropped the thing off, dude. Now, Jimmy, this, I don't like dealing with people. This is the thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to be nice. All I'm doing is what my buddy Johnny Singleton told me. I pull the thing up, pull it under the awning. Okay. There's the awning.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm on the boulevard. I get out. The guy, like almost like a valet, comes over. I give him the thing. I go, yeah. I go, is this Tom here? He goes, oh yeah, Tom's inside. I go, okay, maybe I should talk to him. My buddy Johnny called up. I was supposed to drop the car here off. Should I let him know that's here? He's like, yeah, you should tell him. The guy, so he waves to the guy through the window. The guy peeks his head out, and he's a big fat guy. I don't give, he's a nice fat guy. It's one thing, but listen.
Sure, jolly.
And he's like, you know, can I help you? I go, yeah. I go, my buddy Johnny, I said his last name. He told me I'm mad. I'm supposed to drop my car off here. It's supposed to get work done. Johnny was supposed to call you. And he, dude, Jimmy, look at this, right? He's just looking at me. And now I'm a little uncomfortable. I go, am I in the right place? I go, is this, I said the address. He goes, you know, that's the right place. He goes, what's the problem? I go, with the car? I go, well, the engine light's on. I go, did you get a phone call? Am I not supposed to be here? And he goes, give me a second. And he goes inside. Now, hey, dude, first of all, I'm being a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm being a fucking nice guy. Don't make me not be a nice guy, you fat C word. All right. Jimmy. Yeah. So I'm still calm. I text him. I go, hey, dude, does this fat C, is he expecting me or no? I go, is this guy expecting me? This is what I said to him. I go, he's acting like a fat C. I say the C word because it's a name.
Sure. Yeah. Curmudgeon.
Yes. So he goes, the guy's miserable. He texted me back. He goes, he goes, look, I go in, the guy's on the phone. He's like, yeah, you know, you texted me. I didn't think it'd be down here. And, you know, I go, you know what? I walk back out. I ordered an Uber. I go, Johnny, I got 4 minutes till the Uber gets in here. I'm going to leave the car here. I go, I'm not going to go back inside. I go back inside. I'm not going to get along. I don't think it's going to go well. He goes, get in the Uber, get the fuck out of it. I do, Jimmy. The guy was, I don't know how this guy, I almost wanted to go back inside to go, hey, dude, how do you get any business? Well, you definitely don't get repeat business, you fat motherfucker. Because I'm being nice to you. Yeah. You're acting like a twat. That's what I wanted to say to him. But there was something in me that said, Matt, I didn't say Matt. I don't third person thing.
Yeah. Sweet but potato. You call yourself sweet potato.
Jimmy, I didn't do that. Yeah. But I said to myself, I go, you know what? Nothing, there's nothing good.
Right.
Nothing good is if I walk back inside there, nothing good's going to come out of it. Let me get out of here. So I'm out of there. I'm home, Jimmy.
Yeah.
So this happened an hour before the podcast.
So you really wanted to, go in there and just tell him what a fucking fat douchebag he is.
I just wanted to tell him, I wanted to say, dude, I don't know how you have any business here. That's how you deal with customs. I'm asking you. You're just staring at me. I'm asking you a question. Are you out of your fucking mind? You fat.
But he's bigger than you, though, right?
Jimmy, I couldn't. I'm glad you chose jujitsu because that point jujitsu style. If I saw you hopping up and down on a platform, I would get in the middle. I go and I would say, Jimmy, don't do it. Yeah. Don't you do it? I think you do a sidekick and you might fall right down. I don't. You'd take a while to get good at that. Meanwhile, now you're learning how to close the distance and strangle people.
Yeah.
All right, let's plug this weekend's fights.
Yes.
Pick a couple picks because I'm beating you in the picks.
This, you are, but I did gain two fights. I gained two.
It's not all you gained.
Tuivasa against Martin Tybura.
You're looking good, Jimmy. You lost some weight. Jimmy?
Thank you.
I'm not fat shaming you, Jimmy.
No, you're right, though.
You lost some weight.
I lost a little bit, but I got fatter because I kept eating. Jiu-jitsu won't take weight off you if you're fat. If you keep eating.
Jimmy!
Yeah, but I'm pissing clean, Matt. That's
Jimmy!
The difference.
Jimmy! You're I'm pissing clean.
I piss clean. Yes.
I'm pissing dirty. Pissing dirty. Listen, did I
Tuivasa versus Tybura. This 4 o'clock of the this weekend, Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time is ESPN Plus, and the main card is 7 o'clock ESPN Plus. Do you want to do a couple of the plug we could do
Joe Rogan and Kevin James, I was listening to them Kevin James was on the Joe Rogan podcast. They were talking about biceps because he tore his biceps. And Kevin James brought up me because I look, Jimmy, look at this arm. Look at it. That's nice. That's nice. I'm not going to make fun of you. It's nice, right? Look at it. I could have two of those, but look at this one. That's ugly. That's ugly.
Well,
Jimmy, there's no, I could have had two of these. So when I heard them talking and they're like, there's no reason not to get the surgery.
Yeah.
I could have had two of these. But somebody's like, Matt. I'm like,
come on. Go back and get the surgery now, can't you?
You can't get it. They were talking about this on the podcast. There's a certain point where you can't get it done. I elected to fight Kelly Delonte because I dieted down and the fight was in 2 weeks. So the doctor said, if you could turn a key, it's not going to affect you that much. And it doesn't. It doesn't affect me in jiu-jitsu. It's ugly. Look at it. There's nothing there. God, Adonis. Not an Adonis.
Well, I could tell you got your shot today.
Why would you say, well, that's the first one that's mean.
What?
I said, I'm not an Adonis. You think of Adonis, you think of the guy with flowing hair.
Sure, perfect guy.
I'm not a tall man.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, let's talk about the fights again.
All right, battle against Losa is the co-main event.
Battle, third round strangle.
I am going to say battle by decision.
Okay.
And Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura, very interesting fight. Let me see what Tybura has done his last couple.
Oh, you know what? I'll look also then.
Yeah, let's see.
I was going to tell you what I have. I already have in mind what I'm saying. Tybura.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was knocked out. I'm taking Tuivasa, third round stoppage.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking Tybura, second round submission.
Okay. And because I'm still two fights behind you,
I have 8 wins, 7 losses. You have 5 wins, 9 losses.
I'll pick an extra fight to try to catch up.
All
Nzechukwu, is that how you say it? Nzechukwu is Kennedy Nzechukwu is a very hard name to say, but he's a very, very good fighter over Ovin St. Preux. I love OSP, as you know. I'm a big, giant left leg body kick fan. He kicks a body like nobody in the UFC, like a bat. I'm still going to take Kennedy Nzechukwu. Nzechukwu. God damn it. The hardest name in the UFC to pronounce. Hold on.
Boy.
Nzechukwu. Yeah, it's a very hard name to pronounce.
I think you did it. I think you did.
Yeah, but I always add a syllable. And I really love watching him fight. When's the last? Let me see his last couple.
I get into a Bronco next. I want the height, but I don't want to pay like the mortgage getting a car. Like, I don't, the Tahoe and the Escalade, like, I don't feel like paying like $2,000 a month, like on a fucking truck. I don't feel like doing that.
Nzechukwu. By second round stoppage.
Jimmy, you think I have ADD or something? Seriously, if you thought that they tested me, what would it don't, Jimmy? Don't be, first of all, don't be mean.
I won't.
You can use this time to be mean. Don't be mean.
No.
If they tested me as a friend, then we're off air.
Sure.
Jimmy, honestly, if they tested me, what would you think I'd be diagnosed as having?
They would say that you are an AH.
What do you want to plug, Jimmy?
Comedy Mothership is sold out all weekend. Tonight I got a 7 o'clock show at the Fat Black if you want to see me, but Austin is sold out. So the following week, if you want to catch me, I will be in Oklahoma City next Friday. I will be in Dallas next Saturday, and I will be in Houston a week from this Sunday. I am doing those 3 nights. And my wife and I have a new podcast up on, it's called Sword Fight. That's the name of the podcast. And the 4th episode is up.
Sword Fight? I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm not that confused, but I'm confused. I thought it was Nikki and Jim. NYC.
That's the channel, but the name of the podcast, we had to name the podcast. We wanted to name the podcast.
Wait, hold on. It's called Sword Fight, Jimmy?
Sword Fight, yeah.
I don't know how bad I... Jimmy, I know what you mean by that.
Yes, because we like to joust with ideas.
Jimmy, all right, buddy. I did this the other day. Houston where? No, I'm not going to do it again. I was going to say Houston. You're going to be in Houston.
Yeah.
All right. Well, every time I bring up Houston, what do you bring up?
I don't know.
Come on, Jimmy. How many of your friends shocked the world? God damn it. You don't like to ever give me any shine.
What? The reason I'm going, if you want the truth.
You're going to visit the arena where I fought George St. Pierre.
No, I have a show.
Jimmy, I love you so much. I miss
and
you.
I love you, fella. I hate that I can't train this week because I'm traveling. I really want to.
When you're back, one of us is jumping on a train to train.
I would love that, yeah.
All right, safe travels. And we'll see. We'll talk by next week. It's very exciting.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.